Welcome to Cooking in the Dark.
The kitchen. I will go to the kitchen. And although some recipes I cannot read, still I'm sure I can do everything I need. This show, Cooking in the Dark, it is the key. He's a mighty talkative Texan. You know Cheryl, she tells him so. I know Dale Kimball would like to welcome you to this here show.
Cooking in the Dark is a presentation of Blind Mice Mega Mall at www.blindmicemegamall.com.
Holy schmoly, guacamole!
Welcome to Cooking in the Dark. This is Cheryl Cummings, and I'm going to introduce to you the man who proves to us every day that you don't need sight to cook dinner tonight, Dale Kimball.
Well, hello there, strangers. It's been a while. Where y'all been? Man, we were rolling along pretty good, and then all of a sudden this crazy coronavirus hit. Ba-boom! And then things got crazy, and couldn't get groceries, couldn't get toilet paper. It was crazy. I don't know what happened.
It was.
I don't know why tragedies, big things like that happen, and all of a sudden there's no toilet paper. The boat's sinking. Oh, let's get toilet paper. But we are back, Jack, and that's not anything but a fact. We're live. Well, not live. We're live. You're not. But here we are in July 2021. I know it's been a while, y'all, but we have got a special, special show for all of us to get back in the saddle. We've got a special guest that's going to be coming on today. She's going to be making a chowder. Can say it. Where's the magic man? He can say chowder the way you're supposed to say it. It's corn chowder with poblano peppers. Because, you know, we're in Texas. You got to put a little spice into everything. And if y'all haven't cooked with a poblano pepper, check them out. I think they're maybe not as hot as a jalapeno, but they're not far away. Man, they've got a great flavor, too. But you need to stick around. And I'm not going to tell y'all who the guest host is. The guest cook today, because you already know her. She's here every week with us. Every time. Got a hint? You know who it is? It's not Cheryl. Nope. We'll let you think on that for a minute. So, Cheryl, Tim, what have y'all been doing?
Oh, my gosh. Staying inside and getting fat. How's that?
I know.
Or just trying to survive and, you know, come through this all together and healthy and everything. So
that's it. Kind of in through the out hole, man, trying to get through it and stay safe. I mean, we went and got our shots back in April.
Okay.
So we're vaccinated and good to go, but, you still gotta, man, we're still not out of the woods yet. Everybody's got to just be smart and do what's good for everybody, you know, be healthy and think of other people as well.
I know this is one of those times where it's not only just about you, but it's about your family members and it's about your neighbors. And even if you don't like them, you still need to,
right?
take a little bit of action, go get the shot and, help protect everybody so that we can truly be done with this.
Yes, we can be done with this.
You know, no more like, oh, you can't go here because you don't have a shot. You got to put a mask on or, part of the economy is collapsing because, so many people are getting sick and sadly, so many people are still dying.
I know. It is put a hit on everybody. I mean, we were getting ready. I mean, we haven't gone, to St. Croix in 2 years because of it.
Right.
And, one of the outbreak there, it's just up and down. It's so chaotic down there. You don't know what's happening. Right. I spoke to a gentleman in Australia a couple days ago. He called in to place an order at Blind Mice, and I happened to catch the phone. And he said in Australia, they can't get vaccine. They can't get the vaccine down there. So that's their big issue in some places. So it'll be all right, though. Few more months, man. We just got to keep holding the line like we are and stay on top of it. I mean, we've been open in Texas pretty much since March, and then wide open in June, no masks, no nothing. But the governor came out and said, "Look, y'all know what to do. We can't. Making new laws and regulations and stuff isn't going to help. You know what to do. Act like Texans. Let's get it done." And since then, numbers have been going down, and everything's looking pretty good. But that is what it is. And I tell you what, this corn chowder and the poblano peppers, you make this stuff up and eat it, Corona's going to say, adios, man. Too spicy for me. I'm out. Just burn it right on out, you know. And in fact, a good Corona, a nice cold Corona that comes in a bottle with a little lime would probably go very good with this meal.
Absolutely.
So
I think we should keep the suspense going.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because
this
is truly a special guest.
Make them stick around.
Yeah.
This is so cool. I'm so, man, you talk about going full circle. You know? I mean, it's great. It's great. I think it's awesome. Plus, I've gotten to reap the rewards somewhat of her cooking talents because sometimes I get to eat it.
Oh, very
which
nice.
Which is, heck yeah. Number one, I don't have to cook. And number two, it's damn good. Or maybe number one, it's damn good. Number two, I don't have to cook. And then Candace is saying, number three, I don't have to clean the kitchen. So woohoo, it's a win-win-win all the way around. But, you know, there was it was so funny. We were talking with some friends last night, and this one lady was, you know, bragging on her son. You know, he got a 99 on a test. And, you know, one of our friends being kind of a wise guy, and he said, well, what happened to that other 1 point? And she looks at him and she says, well, that's the score your son got. All right, y'all, we're going to quit gabbing here. We're going to take a quick one, and we'll be right back. And in the meantime, if you can guess who our guest cook is today, man, you might win a t-shirt. More on that later. We'll be right back. Cooking in the Dark. Blind Mice Mart has your perfect product. Braille measuring cups and measuring spoons. That's right. It's a 9-piece measuring cup set from 1/8 of a cup to 2 cups. And they all have Braille. The same with the measuring spoons. You get an 11-piece set that goes from 1/64 of a teaspoon, just a little bitty bit, all the way up to 2 tablespoons. You'll never need another measuring set again. And best of all, they're at blindmicemart.com, where you won't lose your tail.
Order online or order by phone, 866-922-8877.
You want Cooking in the Dark downloaded to your podcatcher? Here's our address, http://www.cookinginthedark.libsyn.com/RSS. That's Cooking in the Dark, no spaces, all squished together, .libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N, .com/RSS. And Cooking in the Dark will be delivered directly to your computer.
Now here's more of the show with Dale Campbell and Cheryl Cummings.
Okay, y'all, here we go. Now, another hint before you guess, because I don't think anybody's guessed right. I've still got a t-shirt here, so it fits me. So if nobody wins, that's cool. I'll just keep it. July of 2003 is when this young cook made her debut. And you know what? Let's go back in time. This was with Phil Parr on the Blind Like Me show. This was before Cooking in the Dark even became Cooking in the Dark. We were still just a guest host on Blind Like Me, but this was the first show we ever did. So hang on. Let's have Phil Parr introduce us.
Blind Like Me, we were going to do a cooking show. We talked to several people about doing it. Actually, we only talked to one person. The person we talked to is Dale Campbell. Hi, Dale.
How you doing, Phil?
I'm good. Now I got my little timer going. Dale, we're going to talk about cooking, and you're going to do a complete meal each show, you think?
Yeah, yes, sir. We've got what we've got on the plate for today. We've got an oven-fried honey-baked chicken. We've got a broccoli salad, and we've also got a Mexican or Southwest corn. And we have a little dessert on the side if we have time for that. But I've got my two assistants in here, my daughter, Skylar.
Okay.
Hello.
All right, y'all. Do you know who it is now? You betcha. It's the young lady that introduces the show every week. Like I said, she's with us every week. Here she is, Skylar Trevino.
Hello, everyone.
See, she sounds grown up now, right? Not the little 9-year-old assistant. And I got to tell you a funny story on that show. I told them that it was Skylar and her friend Stephanie helping me out that day. I told them if I accidentally grabbed the wrong ingredient or something, don't say anything, you know. So I had left a wooden spoon on the cookie sheet and didn't know it and slid it into the oven. When it went in the oven, it fell off across the heating element and caught fire. Well, Skylar and Stephanie, they followed the rules. They didn't say anything until we took a break, and she tapped me on the shoulder and said, Dale, there's a fire in the oven.
Oh, my God.
Very cool, very calm, no panic. Just, hey, there's a fire in there.
I'm pretty good at Halloween.
Oh, good times, man. And I must say, that oven-fried honey chicken, we make that all the time. And the broccoli salad, the broccoli slaw, we make that all the time, too, man. Good stuff. So, Skylar, without further ado, we're making corn chowder with poblano peppers.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Corn chowder with poblano.
Okay.
So I'm going to start by dicing up the poblano. I usually cut it in half first, down the middle.
Right, top to bottom. You clean the seeds and stuff out?
Yes. I run it through a little bit of water first, make sure all the seeds are out so it's not super spicy. But
right.
A little bit. And so after I cut it in half, I cut it in three. So I cut each half into three.
Okay.
And then from there, I dice them into about a quarter inch.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Little pieces. Okay. So while you're doing that, hey, Cheryl, why don't you read this list of ingredients for us?
So I'm going to say to anybody, so it's going to sound like a lot, but it isn't. It really isn't.
It sounds like more than it is. And listen, anybody that wants the recipe, just email me at cookinginthedark-owner@groups.io, and I can get it. Or you can just email Blind Mice. Just go to the Blind Mice Mega Mall website, click on the Contact Us link, and say that you'd like a copy of the ingredients for this recipe, and we'll be happy to email it back to you. All right, Cheryl, get after it, girl.
Here we go. You need 2 poblano peppers, 1 pound gold potatoes, 1 green onion, we'll talk about that, 1 16-ounce bag of sweet corn.
That's frozen, right, Skylar?
Yes, frozen.
Okay.
2 tablespoons flour, 12 ounces of milk, 1 tablespoon Old Bay seasoning, 1 tablespoon stock concentrate, 4 tablespoons cream cheese, 1/2 cup of Monterey Jack cheese, 4 tablespoons butter.
Okay. Now, the 12 ounces of milk, y'all, that's 1.5 cups, 8 ounces per cup. So don't that throw you. Remember, there are 16 tablespoons in a cup. So 4 tablespoons is 1/4 cup. 2 tablespoons is better to go 2 tablespoons. It's 1/8 cup. Not many people have 1/8 cup measuring cup, unless you have the perfect Braille measuring cups. Then you do.
You do, yes.
That's right. All right, let's chop, chop. So did you, now, do you do any prep to help your, because folks, I mean, if you have sensitive hands handling these peppers, you might want to wear like a disposable glove, you know, the little plastic kitchen gloves or something, because it will, it can get your fingers on fuego, and don't touch your eyes or your nose or your lips.
Or your forehead.
Yes.
Yes, a glove would be a good idea. I do not have one, but it would be a great idea to have.
I usually don't think about it until afterwards. And I'm like, man, I should have wore that, you know? So it's because I work with a lot of jalapenos. But I'll tell you all what, though. I did – I've been using the pepper core set that we sell at Blind Mice Mart. And that thing is phenomenal. I even use it on tomatoes. It's great for coring out tomatoes also. Mm. But for peppers, you just slide it in the top, give it a spin, and you don't really touch much of the jalapeno. Or the pepper itself, because, boy, the inside of the membranes, they can get you.
Yeah. I've been buying jalapenos and just dicing them up and throwing them into lots of things.
Nice.
Just, you know, a little bit of spice in everything. I don't know. It works.
Yeah, a little bit of spice and a little bit of, I mean, I like the flavor, too.
Yeah. All right, so how are we doing with the peppers?
My peppers are all diced, so now I'm ready to move on to the gold potatoes.
Okay.
Those should be about 1/2 inch. So I usually slice those down the middle and then make little slices across to get those going.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then whack them down. And one thing about gold potatoes, y'all, if you've never used a gold potato, you don't have to peel them. They just, they're like butter. They almost just melt. They're so good.
And about how much is a, like, how many potatoes are you using, Skylar? How many, making up a pound?
I would say probably about 10. They're little tiny potatoes, about 10. I found them in a bag. They were half a pound, so I'm kind of guessing a little bit.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That works out well. Yeah, you can find, you can find these potatoes, depending on what you're making, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can find the potatoes in all different sizes, great big old gigantic ones that you have to serve on a flatbed truck or little bitty guys.
Yeah, this is such a delicious and like smooth potato that, you can, lots of potatoes you can do this, but this one, it's like you roast it, you boil it, anything, and you just put a little butter on it. Oh my gosh, it's so delicious.
Yes, they are great. Yeah, I could definitely see this in the air fryer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Roasted up, split open with a little butter and a little sour cream, mashed up, and then a little cheddar cheese on top. Oh. Yeah.
Very good, very good.
But I can also see it in this chowder.
So I didn't realize that, the texture of chowder actually comes from potatoes until I made this soup.
Yeah, it does. They use that to thicken it up.
Yeah.
That and flour. The flour will help a little bit with that, but not much.
Right.
Depending on how much you put in, of course, but the 2 tablespoons in this dish. And what's cool about this, if you make this, this, you should be able to eat this for a couple, 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you invite me over, then it's only going to last you one meal. I show up with my big bowl, my noodle bowl.
I was going to say, weren't those in for a little while? Or maybe they still are. They used to have these, like, gigantic bowls.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have one for Thanksgiving. It's a big turkey bowl. It's probably about 2-quart, but it's made for serving.
Okay.
For mashed potato, whatever, you want to put in it. But I use it for my noodle bowl. Less trips back and forth, I say.
There you go.
And usually Thanksgiving, bam, back when Mom was making those. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, we'll send out a shout to my mom today. Today is her birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
It would have been, 76 today.
Wow.
So happy birthday, Mom. So on my 40th, she got me with a surprise party and all these cutouts and all this stuff. And I had for her 65th, we were going to have her yard wrapped with flamingos. There was a company. I don't know if they're still in business now, but they would come and put plastic flamingos all in your yard, like hundreds of them. We were going to do that for her on her birthday, but unfortunately she passed before that happened.
Wow. Yeah.
So dicing those up.
Yes. I'm almost finished, and then I'm going to go on to the scallion.
Okay.
And then I think with the scallion, we're not using the whole thing in the soup, right?
Just the white.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when I cook the poblano in a little bit, I will throw in the white with the poblano, and it just gives it a little bit of extra flavor.
Yeah. So the scallions actually, y'all, come from the green onion. And the scallion is the root part, if you will, the bottom part of the green onion before it gets green,
mm-hmm.
kind of near the bottom. It's real thick, whereas the green onion is, the green part of it is hollow,
right.
Like a straw. That's why you can feel by touch where it starts feeling thick, and when you squeeze on it, it doesn't collapse. That's kind of where the scallion will start, so to speak. And you can just dice it down, slice it down, but leave the whack off the roots. Otherwise, you'll have a green onion growing in your stomach.
That's a scary concept.
Why do I have a green onion growing out of my throat?
I'm ready to move on to the scallion white. So like Dale said, I'm just going to cut the root off. And then I'm just going to chop it at the end. and I'm going to save the greens. You can chop the greens for a topping if you like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the green part adds a lot of flavoring, I think. Like when you, like we're dealing it as noodles or on the soup, it's a nice,
yes,
nice flavor.
Any, I mean, I think of green onions being on top of a baked potato, you know, with chives. That's what chives actually are. Y'all are, is just a chopped green onions. But, yeah, they do. They have a, it's not a super strong flavor, which is what's nice about these. Even if you're not a big onion fan, you can substitute a scallion for an onion in recipes because it'll still give you a touch of that flavor, but it's not a super, super strong oniony flavor.
And
but
they
probably
don't
still,
make
if you eat a lot of them, you probably still won't get a kiss when you take your date home because you're still going to have onion breath.
Well, and as Skylar said, this is one of those onions that does, you know, doesn't make you cry.
That's right.
That's why I like them.
Why are you crying, poor onion?
So, Skylar, can you, like, catch us up? Because, you know, everybody hears you and you're, like, nine, and now you're not nine.
So, I am happily married, and we don't have any children yet, but we do have three dogs. We have a black lab named Zoe, a bull mastiff named Kodak, and we have a chihuahua rescue named Rosie. And we just, we love them so much.
And they are all spoiled rotten.
Yes, oh they God. Are.
And they're just like all, yeah, they're so cute. They all have their own personalities.
Yes, they do. And we live very close to my mom and Dale right now, about 10 minutes. So whenever this chowder's done, they can come on over and eat them.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they are. They're on the other side of the lake. They're down in League City, so they're on the south side of the lake, Clear Lake.
Okay.
Here, and we're on the north side, which is cool. So they're closer to Galveston than us. But
okay,
Skylar also graduated college.
Yeah, I did do that.
And I'm gonna brag on you a little bit because while she was in college, not only was she going to college, she was working three jobs.
Wow.
Yes, I did do that.
I know the little girl's got more energy, man. Woo. Go, girl.
Okay, I'm all done with the scallion wipes now.
Okay.
So, all the ingredients are prepped.
Beautiful.
So I guess it's time for me to go ahead and start cooking up the poblano and the scallion wipes.
Okay. All right, so before you get started with that, little girl, we are going to, we're going to take a break. Everybody, if you don't have your stuff chopped up, hurry up, because you're behind. I'll be late for dinner. We'll be right back, cooking in the dark. Hey, y'all, do what I did and get yourself a 64 gigabyte upgrade memory card from Ultimate Tech Mods. It goes in your Victor Reader stream, and all of a sudden, bam, you've got over 50 gigs of storage, of memory, internal memory. No external cards, no more of this, no more of that. It's all in your stream. I've got 10 books right there now, plus four magazines, all internally saved on my second generation Victor Reader stream. That's ultimatetechmods.com, ultimatetechmods.com, or see them at Blind Mice Mega Mall.
Now with more of the show, here's Cheryl Cummings and Dale Campbell.
All right, welcome back to this really fantastic episode of Cooking in the Dark.
Man, this is great.
Yes.
It's a new beginning. Passing of the torch. That's awesome. So we're fixing to get cooking, huh?
Yes, we are.
Good, because my stomach's kind of rumbling.
I'm going to start by melting 4 tablespoons of butter in the pot.
Okay.
For medium heat. And just kind of let it whip up.
How big of a pot are you using? Like maybe a 10-quart or 6-quart, or, you know?
It's about a 10-quart.
Okay. You know what that translates to me, y'all, is a nice big batch of food.
All right. So while it's getting melty, I'm going to put the scallions in first.
Oh, it's going to start smelling good when those onions hit and then the peppers hit. So this is going to kind of flavor it up, and it's also going to soften, you know, these ingredients.
Right.
And with them chopped up as small as they are, it won't take long.
Okay, so the scallions are in, and I'm going to go ahead and toss in the poblanos. Ooh, that sounded.
Okay.
Do you just, once you put it in, do you, like, just let it sit, or do you stir? What do you do?
Stir it for about 2 to 3 minutes until they soften up. It's a pretty good amount of time for them to just get a little bit soft.
Okay.
Just kind of stir them, and then you can season them with a little bit of salt and pepper.
Yeah, that's something I've been doing since, I've been not really seasoning a lot of food with salt, and a little bit of salt and a little bit of pepper, mm-hmm. but not real heavy.
Right.
And then I let my dinner guests season their own, you know?
Right.
Some like more salt. If you like less salt, so sorry. But we don't put a lot of salt in it. Like the one time I made potato soup, I used all the potatoes we had. I put too much salt in accidentally. And then the remedy for that was to add more potatoes. I'm like, well, we're out of luck. Some of those cooking catastrophes. Or like the time I made fish in the dishwasher, and Skylar took one look at it and said, I ain't eating that.
I definitely remember that.
Nope. I was like, man, we use lemon cascade. I don't know what the deal was.
Smart kid.
Yeah, it actually turned out really good, though. You just wrap it up in foil,
right.
and it actually steams it while it's, you know, while the dishwasher is going through its cycles.
Okay.
And it came out great.
Okay. Well, Dale, we will trust you.
Okay. Yeah. Next time I put a piece of fish in front of you, you might want to think.
I know. How did he?
Did
cook
you do
this?
Dishes at the same time? No mas, no mas. So we're stirring around, sweetheart, getting soft.
Yeah.
Okay. And one way you can check it for the softness, if you want to spoon a little piece out, you can just touch it with your fingers. Or you can stick a fork in it very lightly while it's in the pot if you, you know, find one and just kind of poke it with a fork. And like I say, is it done yet? Stick a fork in it. If it's crispy, your fork's going to not really – it's going to take a little bit of pressure to go into it.
Yeah.
If it's soft, of course, it'll slide right in.
I thought you were talking about your stomach.
Oh, man.
Fork in your stomach.
Not yet. Right now my stomach's soft. After I eat that, it's going to be hard. Be full.
All right.
I have to wear my gym shorts with elastic band so I have room.
Okay, so the peppers are softened now, so I'm going to lower the heat just a little bit.
So you were at like about medium heat there before?
Yes.
Okay.
About medium heat, I'm just going to lower it a little bit so I can stir in 2 tablespoons of flour. And that you only want to have in there for about 1 minute, and then you can start adding them up.
Okay, adding the flour at this stage, y'all, is gonna kind of take the butter and the mixture there and almost make kind of like a roux, if you will, or a little gravy base. More like a roux, though, when you're cooking gumbo.
Yeah.
But
I think
when you do gumbo, you got to do it for an hour, or not even an hour, but brown it and, making the roux for gumbo is the most important part. That's why I buy box gumbo mix.
Well,
it's so hard because
you know, can't go wrong.
Now my sense of smell is gone, you know, with the car wreck.
Okay.
So yeah, it needs to turn a kind of a light brown, which that doesn't help.
Yeah.
And you want it to smell, you'll kind of start smelling it to be a little nutty flavor, but even that is kind of hard to detect for me anyway. But yeah, the Zatarain's box roux, I guess it is, for gumbo is great.
Okay, so it is stirred in.
Okay.
So
we've got the butter in, we've got the scallions are softened, the peppers are softened, the flour is roux'd up.
Yeah, add the milk.
Okay.
So I'll start with 1 cup and just add in just a little bit at a time while you stir.
Okay.
Uh-oh, the cup go. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Cool.
12 ounces, as you said, Dale, it's a cup and a half, right?
Right. So, and you want to add it gradually. Get it in and get it mixed in.
Okay. So, half cup.
Okay.
Another half a cup.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then the last cup.
But this is actually easier because I don't know what I thought went into making corn chowder, but I don't know. I thought it would be lots more stuff, and I don't know. But this is pretty approachable. This is doable. As Skylar's demonstrating.
He's very approachable.
Yeah.
I was very nervous to make it the first time, and I was like, oh, wow, this is actually not hard at all. Cool. Right.
Yeah, that's cool when you do a recipe and it comes out like, wow, that was easier than I thought. And it's even good. Because Skylar will tell you, man, we had some experiments. We did make some crazy stuff at some times. And, you know, I mean, she was better than me. There ain't no way in heck I would have eaten it when I was a kid. Well, but actually, some of it came out to be pretty gaggum good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is all mixed in. It is creamy. And now I can add 2.5 cups of water.
Okay. Now, y'all, this is Texas water, so it's going to put a little Texas flavor in it.
Should we be concerned about that concept?
Oh, no. Texas water is great. Makes everything grow bigger.
Okay.
Speaking of growing bigger, I bought, we're kind of starting to plant some flowers around in our yard to attract bees and butterflies and such, and birds, and I bought mammoth sunflower seeds. Then I also bought some other packs of, like, what are they, the yellow daisy, blah, 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 and some evening sun. And reading them, the mammoth sunflowers get to be 12 feet tall.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And the other ones I bought, a couple of them are real small. You know, one's about 22 inches tall. And then the rest of them are all 6 to 7 feet tall. And I'm like, uh-oh, I probably shouldn't have planted some of those where I did. I was expecting short ones, but these are going to be kind of tall. But the mammoth ones, I'm going to pass them out to the neighbors. You know, I've got about 25 of them trying to get started. So
Wow. They
get some starts, we'll get them up and around. But that's cool. I've always, when I was a kid, we went to McDonald's and they were giving away sunflower seeds, you know, a sunflower plant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a little styrofoam cup with a seed in it. And my neighbor, Mark, and I got them and they spilt. So my stepdad he's kind of grumpy anyway. He was scooping them all up in the cups, griping about it, you know. And anyway, Mark got 2 seeds. I got none. So mine didn't grow and they had 2. And I'm like, man, which one's mine? So I never got my sunflower. Now I do.
That's nice.
So we'll keep you up to date on those, man. I can't wait to grow them.
12 feet tall. That's just
12 feet. You're going to need a ladder to get a sunflower off of it.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
A seed.
Wow.
That's way up there.
Alrighty, water is on the skin. So it's time to add the potatoes and bring the soup to a boil.
Okay.
So it will probably be about 15 to 20 minutes.
All right.
But it will need to boil, and you're cooking it until the potatoes are tender. So like you said earlier, piercing them with a fork is a good way to know if they're tender.
Stick a fork in it. That's right.
Yes.
Stick a fork in it.
And not your stomach.
Yes, not. Yeah, don't stick your stomach. That might cause an issue. Okay, so far, y'all, we have we've diced up the scallions. We've diced up the poblano peppers. We've tossed those in with the butter. Softened them. Then after they were softened, that took about 2 to 3 minutes, we added in the milk and then the flour.
The other way around.
The flour and then the milk?
Yes.
Oh, the cart before the horse. I always mess that up. Horse before the cart. That's the best way to do it. And then once we let that kind of stirred that around for about a minute, the flour, and then we added the milk, and then we added the water. Now we're adding in the potatoes, and that was a pound of golden potatoes. Diced up into about half-inch chunks. Man, going to be delicious.
And then I also forgot we need to add 1 tablespoon of the Old Bay seasoning.
Oh, yes, Old Bay seasoning.
And then,
folks, if y'all haven't ever used Old Bay seasoning, that stuff is great. You use it a lot in seafood dishes, crab cakes, whatever, but it just adds a very cool little flavor. I like it. It's great with other stuff, too. And since this is chowder, we have to add Old Bay seasoning.
And then the next thing is stock concentrate. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to find this, but I did. And they come in packets. So
just
adding in 1 packet of stock concentrate. It's very thick. It's not like a broth. It's very thick, so it adds thickness to the soup.
Oh, okay. So it's not a dry mix, dry thing?
No. It's
okay.
A very thick liquid.
Just a real concentrated, it's probably almost like a concentrated, just broth.
It's a broth sort of boiled down.
You know, vegetable stock or beef stock or something, but they probably just concentrated down. That's cool. Yeah, when I read that too, I'm like, that's something interesting.
I've seen it at Costco and probably other.
Okay.
Skylar got it at a grocery store, so yeah, it's around.
At old Texas HEB.
HEB, folks. Hairy Butt Groceries.
Okay, so that is ready to boil. I'm going to put the lid on.
Okay.
And then we can start the
bread. All right, so why don't we take a quick break right here, y'all, while that's boiling. And are you going to make some cornbread now?
I'm going to make just some garlic bread.
Ooh, okay.
Candace, get the keys. Recipe.
I don't want to overdo the corn.
Okay. All right. So, hey, y'all, we will be right back with Cooking in the Dark and our special guest, Skylar, doing corn chowder and now garlic bread. Yummy. We'll be right back. Hey, y'all, I want to tell you about the Danny Boy Stand. Some of y'all have heard about it, others haven't. But it's a stand created by who? Dan. Danny Boy. He got fed up with all the stands to hold your iPhone, you know, stationary while you try to read a document, you know, using Q&R Speak or Seeing AI or any of those things. I use Seeing AI and, man, try to don't breathe or cough when you're trying to scan something. Oh, it's a mess. Now I just set my phone in the top of my Danny Boy, slide my document underneath it, and there it is. It reads it right away. Check it out at DannyBoyStand.com. That's DannyBoyStand.com. Or you can also see it at BlindMiceMegamall.com. The Danny Boy Stand. You need it.
Now, more of the show with your host, Dale Campbell and Cheryl Cummings.
All right, y'all. Is everybody getting hungry? Man, I am. I think I'm going to have to... I've got the list of ingredients here. I think I'm going to have to put them in my shopping cart and make this stuff myself. This is sounding delicious. And a little garlic bread on top of it. Can't beat it. All right, Chef Skylar, take it away.
All right. So we just need one loaf of French bread sliced in half. Put it on a baking sheet, face up.
Okay.
And then we will make, I'm trying to cut the bread. Ooh, it's tough.
All right. As Skylar's doing that, I'm going to read the ingredients because, again, this is like so much fun and so simple and so delicious once it's made.
I know. It's just, yeah, it's great.
All right. So we need a loaf of French bread. You might want to get two just in case.
I'm saying.
4 tablespoons of butter.
Okay.
2 tablespoons of olive oil. 2 tablespoons Parmesan cheese.
Oh, yes.
3 tablespoons minced garlic.
Okay.
And 1 tablespoon parsley. And that's all you need.
Beautiful.
Okay, so I'm going to start by melting the butter a little bit. I have 6 butters. So I'm going to melt it down. Microwave for about 15 seconds.
For how long? About 60 seconds? Okay.
I don't know, 15 to 30. I never know for sure. I just kind of...
So do you want the butter melted or just soft?
Melted.
All right. And then you're going to brush that on the bread?
After I melt it down, then I will combine it with olive oil, Parmesan cheese, salt, pepper, and the garlic, and then I'll whisk it, and I'll brush that on the bread.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds so
good. I was thinking it was going to be like building a pizza. You know, you put the sauce on and then blah, 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 and build it up. But this is, we're going to put everything in together. And then just one. Oh, yeah, this is going to be delicious.
Okay, 30 seconds is not enough.
Okay.
I'm adding more.
Yeah, and everybody's microwaves is a little different, you know, depending on your wattage. It's like the time when I was at home when I make, like, fry an egg in the microwave, it takes about a minute and a half. But when I'm here in the studio, when I do it in the talking microwave, it takes about 45 seconds.
Ouch.
Just because the Magic Chef has 1,000 watts and my microwave at home has probably 750.
And did we learn that by putting it in for an hour, a minute and a half and going, oh?
Yeah, because when I do it at home, I usually let it go for about 45 seconds first, and then I pull it out and add a little cheese on top of it and then put it back in for another 45 seconds. So when I did that in the Magic Chef and pulled it out, it was cooked. Oh, shoot. Whoops. So at least it wasn't a super fried egg, something they could use for a hockey puck.
Mm.
All right, butter is all melted. I'm going to go ahead and add 2 tablespoons of olive oil to the melted butter.
Now, olive oil, y'all, is one of those crazy things that is, it's room temperature. So it's kind of hard to feel if you're going, pouring it into a measuring spoon. So what Phil Parr, his tip was, he would pour his olive oil into a container and put it in the refrigerator. So when it was chilled, it was kind of gelled. So then it made scooping out a tablespoon or a teaspoon, whatever you needed, so much easier.
Love that method. I think that is such a workaround to...
It is.
Sort of guessing like, oh, did I just hear or, a whole lot
I,
of
I mean,
oil
sometimes
go
I'll put
in?
My finger over, you know, the top of the cup or the spoon as I'm adding. But that's so hard to feel it, you know, what's going in and out. And, of course, I mean, you can use the syringes. You can pick up a medicine syringe for a baby, you know, what they use to give babies, you know, liquid medicine. And those are – but they're marked, of course, not for the blind. There's workarounds there, too. But I think the Phil Parr method is just the easiest for that.
Okay, so I added the olive oil, and now I'm going to add 2 tablespoons of Parmesan cheese.
Ooh, yes. Go ahead and add 3.
Okay.
I love Parmesan cheese. They have grated, real grated Parmesan. You know, not the stuff in the green can.
Right.
Real fresh. I dump that into everything. I mean, if I make a salad, sprinkle a little on it, or just over the top of potato. I did a piece of fried fish the other day, and I sprinkled some of that on top of it. I just love cheese.
Cheese is wonderful.
And I've gotten into getting extra sharp cheddar cheese. Oh, I love that. Or smoky cheddar. That's excellent,
too.
Oh,
that sounds nice.
That's kind of my treat sometimes. It's expensive, but, yeah, just a little hunk of that is really good.
I added the cheese, and I'm going to add in the minced garlic.
Okay. How many cloves? Now, is this just straight minced garlic that you bought minced, or did you mince up some cloves?
Yes, okay. I bought it minced.
Oh, but that is, I mean, that's another great little workaround, because it comes in just is yours in just in a little jar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got some of that, too. That's another great shortcut, y'all, so you don't have to peel the garlic, you don't have to mince it. With it, it's kind of in a, I don't know, what would you say, it's kind of in a solution, I guess, or it's a little liquidy?
Mm-hmm. A little bit liquidy. Yeah.
And it really just helps out, because with regular garlic, you can mince it, or you can throw it in a garlic mincer and squeeze it, you know, chop it down and mince and that way. But you really get a lot of great garlic flavor out of the if you buy the minced garlic already in the little jar. Of course, if you're growing garlic in your backyard, just go pull a bulb and get after it.
Growing garlic?
Yes.
You are.
Garlic is beautiful. It has beautiful purple flowers.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, I grew some when I was in Pearland. I had garlic planted between my rose bushes because it was supposed to help prevent, you know, things from attacking your roses.
Mm-hmm.
Little varmints.
Okay, so now the mixture is ready. I just kind of whisked it a little bit.
Okay.
And it is ready to go on top of the bread.
Beautiful. So are you're just spreading it with your spoon?
Yes.
Okay.
I found it's a little bit thick, so
okay.
I think it'll be better to use that than a brush.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, you can just kind of spoon it out, glob it on, and then use the back of the spoon to spread it out.
Yes.
Just sort of scoop it out a little bit and use your hands to spread it out.
There you go.
Washed hands, hopefully.
Yeah. Your impeccably clean hands, please, if you're cooking for me.
Yeah, and I'm very
nice.
And are you using fresh parsley or like parsley flakes or
a little bit of fresh parsley and a little bit of dried.
Dried, okay.
Dried, yes.
Either one, I think. It's good.
Excellent. And then the decision, there's so many ways to toast garlic bread like she's making. You can leave it open-faced and toasted. It'll really brown and get crunchy. I've seen people that after she puts all the fixings on it, they close it and then slip it back in the bag it came in and just put it in a low oven, maybe about a 175-degree oven, just to warm it and melt it, you know, the butter and such. But that I use that process if I don't melt my butter all the way like Skylar did in the microwave. If it's just softened butter, glob it all on. But it just depends. That way, and I've seen them too, where they stick it in closed, so the inside gets super soft, but the outside, the crust gets crustier. You know, gets toasted and gets a little bit harder and crustier. It's all good.
We all know I love the soft inside of bread.
I was just thinking of that story too, little girl. We used to get either a loaf of Italian bread or French bread at the grocery, and Candace went to cut some slices off, and the whole inside of the bread was eaten out. It was just the crust that was left. Our little bread monster got in there and ate it. So Candace made her eat the crust. Cool.
Hey, so the bread is good, and it's ready to go in the oven.
Excellent.
400 degrees.
Ooh, 400? For just a couple minutes?
About 12 minutes.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Beautiful.
So did you like close it up, or which method are you using?
I left it open face.
Okay.
Beautiful.
And is it on like your top rack or bottom rack or?
Yes, the top rack of the oven.
Okay.
And this is, once you get this ready to go, y'all, toast this up just before you get ready to serve, because we've still got some steps to do on the corn chowder.
Yeah.
I think this might finish in time, though, because the corn chowder's been going for a while, and I think, Skylar, you said it's going to take like 15 or so minutes.
Yes, it actually has about 2 minutes left.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. So this will be perfect. Oh, I heard the dinner bell almost.
That was the oven ready to preheat for the bread. Okay, the chowder has about 1 minute left.
Okay. Go ahead and check your... check your potatoes now. I mean, they might be done.
Okay. Let me get my fork.
Get the fork.
Yes, they are done. Stuck
beautiful.
A fork.
Okay.
They are done. So I'm going to turn it to low, and I'm going to mash the potatoes just a little bit, leaving some for texture and then some to thicken up the soup.
Beautiful. Yeah, this is like when I make potato soup, this is what I'll do too after they're boiled. I will mash the middle of the pot and leave the outsides, you know, where they're not mashed, so you do get some different size, some chunks and some mashed, just adds a really nice texture. This is awesome. I did not realize, like you, Cheryl, how easy chowder was to make.
Yeah. It looks so intimidating.
I know. Right?
It looks like some hard work must have gone into this.
Yeah, that violates Dale's first rule. If it takes longer to make it than it does to eat it, we may pass. Yeah, but this isn't bad at all. This is something that can be thrown together really quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, your prep time is probably longer than the cook time. You know, getting everything chopped up and such.
My fingers are starting to burn just a little bit.
Getting a little tingly? Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that'll those peppers, man. And now if you don't like the heat, once you open up the peppers, you can take a spoon and lightly scrape the inside membrane of the pepper,
mm-hmm.
and that will take some of the heat out of it as well. A little trick, we use that for jalapenos too, so you get the flavor of the pepper, but not necessarily all the heat.
Right.
Now, if you're one on the other side where you like the heat, leave the seeds, leave everything in it, and that'll bring the temperature up for you.
I learned that. I was making like a chili, and I tossed in jalapeno, and I didn't do anything. And then I was, you know, tasting. I'm like, geesh, why is it so spicy?
What happened?
And they're like, wait, did I put in chili pepper? What did I do? And then I'm like,
right, what happened?
You know, knock on the head. You didn't take out the seeds from
them. Yes. Well, that was a classic of Phil Parr at one of the gatherings, man. I made those stuffed jalapenos, you know, and he got a hold. I made them all cool except for four, and I made those hot on purpose just to see who was going to get them. Oh, Phil Parr got one.
I think he accused you of trying to kill him.
He did. A few choice words. Yeah. Son of a Campbell, that's effing hot. Out of nowhere, man, he screamed that. Oh, you got one of the hot ones. One down, three to go. But okay. I just recently I made some pico de gallo the other last week, which was excellent. Now the veggies are in and good. And I used my mandolin, the professional mandolin that Blind Mice sells. And the tomatoes were super firm, so I sliced them with the julienne blades up.
Mm-hmm.
So it cut them into strips. And then I just chopped those strips down real quick for my pico. I love pico, but boy, cutting the tomatoes up is just a lot of work. All right, Skylar, so are we ready to add in the rest of the stuff?
Yes. Beautiful. It is mashed and it is thick.
Oh, excellent. Chowder. It's chowder. That's great. So that stock concentrate really helped to bring that in too, mm-hmm. along with the flour.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Okay, so I'm going to add the corn. Stir that in.
And this is just a 1 pound bag, y'all, of frozen yellow corn. And pull it out, you know, when you start this process, when you start making it, it'll start thawing out. It won't take long for the corn to thaw. And if it's a little bit frozen when you put it in, if you still have some niblets that are frozen, it won't hurt anything.
Okay. After I add the corn, I'm going to add 4 tablespoons of cream cheese. I just have a block, and I'm going to scoop it out with my tablespoon.
Yeah, that should be about, it's 8 ounces, a block.
Yeah.
So 4 ounces will be 4 tablespoons, so about half
of
it. And if you put a little more in, that won't hurt anything either. It's another one of those things where a little is good, a lot is better. You know what I like? I like cream cheese on a Ritz cracker, y'all, with jalapeno jelly on top of that.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Very good. A little sweet, a little spicy, and a little creamy cheesy.
Okay, cream cheese is in.
Excellent.
And all it needs is a half a cup of Monterey Jack cheese.
Okay.
All
right.
If it's too thick, you can add just a little bit of water so that it's not super
thins it out a little.
It's just up to whatever you'd like the consistency to be.
Okay. And that's something, too. If you make this and have it for a couple days in the fridge, you might want to add a little water to it anyway just to help thin it up a little bit before you go to reheat it. Or just to make it last. You know, like you find out, oh, I got another guest for dinner, add another cup of water.
I would say just use smaller bowls.
I like the way you think. Yeah. Big bowl for Dale, a little bowl for you. Thank you for coming.
Ingredients are all combined. And if you'd like, you can top it with sour cream for a garnish, and then you can dry cut some of
those
green onions.
Okay.
Ah, that's where our green onions come in.
I think I might have to put a little sour cream on mine, too.
Yes. I love sour cream and soup.
Yes. But I tell you, first things first, I mean, first you got to eat it straight up, just as it is. See which way to go, you know, and then add but green onions in there would be delicious. More cheese on top, please. Well, hey, Cheryl.
Yes.
You want to read the ingredients one more time?
I can do that.
All right.
All right. So this is sweet corn and poblano chowder.
Mm-mm-mm.
We need 2 poblano peppers, 1 pound gold potatoes, 1 green onion, 1/16 ounce bag of frozen sweet corn, 2 tablespoons flour, 12 ounces of milk, 2.5 cups of water, 1 tablespoon Old Bay seasoning, 1 tablespoon stock concentrate, 4 tablespoons cream cheese, 1/2 cup Monterey Jack cheese, 4 tablespoons butter.
Beautiful. So basically, y'all, just as the ingredients are listed, you want to dice up, cut your, like Skylar did, cut the poblano pepper in half, top to bottom, open it up, get the seeds out. If you want to scrape the membrane down a little bit, do that. And then she cut it into thirds and then chop those up into, like, what'd you say, about 1/2-inch pieces?
Yes, 1/4 or half.
quarter, half inch, something like that. Mm-hmm. Do the same with your scallions. Cut, you know, the scallion end again is a little wide end, so you want to dice those up, and then throw them in the pot with a little bit of butter. When the butter melts, add in your scallions and your peppers. Stir that all around. Let them cook about 2 to 3 minutes in there. They'll start to get soft. Then you want to add your flour and stir it around. Let it go for about a minute. You don't want to go too long without adding the milk and the water. Otherwise, it'll burn the flour, which will totally ruin the dish. You don't want to do that. So when you add the flour, you know, a minute or so is perfect, and stir it around. Then you add your milk and your water. Then you come back and you add your potatoes and bring it to a boil. Let it boil for about 15 minutes until your potatoes are tender. And like Skylar did, just stick a fork in them, and it's almost like a hot fork going in the butter. When you stick it in, if your potatoes are tender and done, the fork will slide right in without a problem. Then from there, once it's done boiling, is when you add your corn. Oh, I forgot the stock concentrate. You got to add that too. Help thicken it up. Add that before you bring it all to a boil. Last thing to go in is the corn and Parmesan cheese is in there too, right? No, the Parmesan cheese is on the bread. Yeah. Okay. I'm getting all sidetracked. Mm. Cheese. So, hey, Cheryl, read them how to make the garlic bread.
I know. This is lovely. All right. 1 loaf French bread, 4 tablespoons butter, 2 tablespoons olive oil, 2 tablespoons Parmesan cheese, 3 tablespoons minced garlic, 1 tablespoon minced parsley.
Beautiful. Melt your butter in the microwave. Add your olive oil, add all the ingredients basically into the bowl, mix it, whisk it together, and then as Skylar did, just kind of spoon it on your bread and spread it out. Open-faced in the oven, 400-degree oven for about 12 minutes. You will have delicious, crispy garlic bread. Better be careful, the Italian restaurant might be calling saying, hey, we need some of that to go with our spaghetti. And you'll say, nope, it's going with my corn chowder. You're out. All right, so how's it taste?
It is amazing.
Fantastic.
It's pretty spicy.
Okay.
Maybe 1.5 poblano of pepper.
Okay.
But it is really good.
Nice. Is it a real hot burning spice or just a spicy aftertaste?
A spicy aftertaste.
Okay. That's great. That is great. Woohoo! All right, y'all. Skyrider, thank you for coming and guest hosting and kicking off the second half of our shows.
Of course.
Our post-COVID.
Yes, I very much enjoyed it. Thank y'all for having me.
Well, we're going to have you back, man.
Oh, yes.
You're turned into one hell of a little cook. When Sergio and Skylar got married, Sergio was in the Navy, so they moved. They were in Virginia for a while, and they came back. Skylar came back a little bit earlier, and she was living, you know, with her grandma. And boy, that's when they got to cooking in there, man. They made some good eats. So fantastic. All right, y'all. There you go. We're back. Cooking in the Dark is back. Thank you for all that have called, wondering where we were at, what was going on, and for your interest. It's nice to know that we still have 17 listeners. I know Kathleen Long will be happy because we've got her another show. Being serious now. Thanks, y'all, and we appreciate you. And this is Cooking in the Dark, and we're back. For Cheryl and the Magic Man, Tim, and our guest, Skylar, I'm Dale Campbell. This is Cooking in the Dark. AMF.
Cooking in the Dark is a presentation of Blind Mice Mega Mall at www.blindmicemegamall.com.
Cooking in the Dark was produced by THC Productions.
The clouds when we're together. Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
This is a public service announcement from the Massachusetts Association for the Blind. The Massachusetts Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired provides assistive technology training for persons with visual impairments. If you or a family member are interested in receiving one-on-one specialized training, please contact 617-991-7073 or email atcenter@mabcommunity.org.
listen to Audio Journal on your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn. Or, hey Google, play radio station Audio Journal on TuneIn.